Welcome to the Victory Worship Center podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jody LaFleur. For more information, visit victoryworshipcenter.com.
This morning we're in part three of our series on John 15. Let me give you a quick recap of where we've been so far. In week one, we discussed that our job is to bear fruit. Jesus told us that we are to bear fruit. We are the branch. We are to stay attached to the vine. We are to abide in him. That means to stay connected. That means to stay close. And through that connection with the vine, because the vine produces fruit, the branches don't produce fruit. We bear fruit, right? We can't produce anything, right? He produces through us and we bear fruit. And so the objective is to stay connected so that we can be fruitful. And in week two, we talked about the power of love. And we talked about the need for us to actively love one another in the body, to actively love one another. You know, we did an exercise. I told the staff this. I was challenged by this because I felt like the Lord would have us stand in the room. If you're a part of this body, but you desperately need some expression of love from the body, you need something from us to stand. And we had those people stand. And while they were standing, I felt that they were reaching for something. Have you ever been in that position where you stand up and you're like, I am vulnerable. I'm saying in front of all these people that, yes, I do. I need something from you guys beyond a God bless you, good morning. I actually need an expression of love for you, whatever from you, whatever that looks like. And as they were standing up, it hit me that as a church, we are not formalizing a process to make sure that each one of those needs get met. So there's no church program. We didn't take a picture of that and then set up a program by which the organization of the church meets every one of those needs. That's not what happened. What we did was we said, okay, if you stand, if you need something, and then we put the responsibility on those of us in the church, not the organization of the church, but the organism of the church. We said, now, would you use your love gift and love these people? And honestly, as the service closed, I felt the weight of it. I thought, what if there was someone among us who stood up, who was just without hope and at that moment of feeling lonely and full of despair and full of depression, and that this was their last ditch effort to stand up and say, please, somebody love me. And what if, because the church, the organization of a church, didn't set a program around it, what if the organism of the church, what if we just stood up, shook hands with the same people we sit next to every week, and walk out of this door headed for Casa Manana and not touch that person? I felt heavy. I went home that day saying, God, let your body be the body. We don't need to solve it all with an organization or a program. God, please ignite your body so that we will love each other well, so that no one among us goes without, so that no one among us has need. But God, ignite your church to love one another purposefully and aggressively. And to tell you the truth, I don't know if there was a person who stood up last week who maybe walked right out of this building, nobody spoke to, or they gave them a little platitude, and they walked out of this building as hurting as much as when they walked in. I'm not fussing at you, but do you sense the weight of what I'm saying? So please, let's not rely on the church to set up programs to meet these things. Let's be the church and meet the needs in our body. Let's use our giftings to bless the church. So last week we discussed in the power of love, the need for us to love each other openly and aggressively. And another thing I said last week we talked about was that I believe that the supernatural that we all desire to walk in, how many of you would like to walk in a greater level of the supernatural in your life? At Walmart, you see a hurting person, you pray over them and God heals them. Anybody interested in that? Anybody interested in seeing a broken family and just being able to speak, having a word, having a prophecy, having, anybody want that? So I believe that ought to be the desire. The word tells us that we ought to seek the gifts, right? And so I believe, though, a key to walking in the supernatural is love. And I believe that the key to Jesus's success in ministry was that he was motivated completely by love. So I challenged us to not just desire the supernatural, but to live a life of love, and that the supernatural will flow out of a life of love. And as we go about our lives, we'll see people that are in need, and our heart is so broken for them, just like our Father's heart is broken for them. And so we reach out to them, and the supernatural follows that. And I was reminded of this story I heard. It was a minister named Bob Mumford, who we used to listen to a lot. And I remember one of his CDs, he shared a kind of a strange testimony. He said that God told him one day to quit praying for the sick. Like, don't pray for any sick people. And so he went for 6 months without praying. Now, this is a guy who ministers and speaks at churches and has people come up to him on a regular basis. But God told him, don't pray for any sick people for 6 months. Well, they didn't tell him 6 months, but he just said, don't quit praying for sick people. So he didn't. About 6 months into it, he was at a convenience store, and he ran into a friend of his who said, hey, by the way, I need to let you know that I've been diagnosed with terminal cancer. And he said that at that moment, he said he just reached out and hugged his friend. And as he hugged him, God healed the guy of cancer. So that challenge, I mean, it sounds strange that God would say, don't pray for sick people. But do you see what the Lord was doing? Work on your love. Work on your love. Get the same heart for people that I do. And I believe the supernatural is going to flow right out of that. So that's a quick, semi-quick recap of what happened on our first 2 weeks. So now for part three, let's look at John 15, beginning in verse 14 as our text. And we'll begin reading here. John 15, 14. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I commanded you, that you love one another. Now, verse 14, beginning in verse 14 of this text, here's what it says. Let's look at that verse again. It says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So looking at that verse this week, I was just praying and figuring out what the Lord wanted to say. And it was interesting that he kind of highlighted this verse, because it's a short verse, and it seems like a very straightforward verse without much hiddenness in it. But if you know anything about the Word of God, that God can unveil and bring revelation for days on two or three words. I mean, if you begin to dig and to seek and let the Holy Spirit give you revelation, the shortest of verses can come alive. And so I was studying this, I was doing a little Greek study, and here's what I found, was that the word friends here, it says, you are my friends. The word friends in this verse is the word phelos, or philos. And that word is interesting, because it doesn't just mean companion or someone that you enjoy. It actually means this. It means a friend like a groomsman in a wedding, but even before the wedding, how a groomsman would go and approach a potential bride in behest of the groom. So if a bride wants to marry someone, a friend close enough to actually go do the proposing for him. So he says, you are my fellow, you are my friend who will actually act on my behest in something so serious and so intimate as to that you would go and actually propose to my fiance for me. So he says, you are my friend. Well, that's what that means. So you are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, the word command there, a little more Greek study, and I won't go overboard with this, but a little more Greek study. The word command here, the word is entelo. And it doesn't mean just to do something that you're told. It actually means to enjoin or to partner with. Now, here's why I'm going over this, because if we're not careful, if we have a view of God as the gardener, because remember at the beginning of John 5, we see God as the gardener, yes? And if you read that wrong, you will see God as the God who carries around the loppers, and he's looking for some vines to prune. Who are we going to cut off here? Who's not producing fruit? Who needs to get out of here? Who needs to get cut off and cast into the fire? So if we have this idea of an angry God walking around looking to roll some heads, then we read a verse like this, that you are my friends if you do what I command you. So we hear it like this. If you're not a friend to me, I mean, if you don't obey my commands, I don't even like you. Now, is that the heart of our Father? Is it the heart of Jesus to say, if you don't do what I tell you to do, I can't do nothing for you? Instead, I don't see this as a threat. I see this as an invitation. So he says, I'm calling you to enjoin me, become a partner with me, so much so that I could even send you out after my bride. And then if you track with that and go to, it reminded me of Genesis 24 when Abraham needed to get a bride for his son Isaac. And you need to follow me on this because this is going to bless you. Abraham has a son, and he's at that age where it's time for him to get married. And so Abraham calls his servant. He calls a servant to him, and he says, servant, my son needs a wife. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to leave where we are, and I want you to go back to our homeland where my family is, where my lineage is, because I don't want to have a wife. I don't want to pick a wife for my son from here. I want you to go back to my family, and I want you to go pick a wife for my son. And then I want you to bring her here to me so that my son can get married. And it was interesting because he was really determined that there wasn't going to be a wife from here, that it had to be from there. Because I believe that was the land that Abraham had been sent from, and that was his original people. And so God is now in a land of covenant. Abraham is now in the land of covenant, but there is family, and there is the old lineage, and there's this old thing back here. And so God is saying, I want to bring people from the old place into a new covenant. I need to go get some people who are not part of the covenant and bring them to the place of covenant. And so I need a servant who will go leave here and go out to the place with no covenant. And I want you to go, and I want you to bring back a bride for my son. Amen. And so he sends him out. He makes him stick his hand under his thigh, which I guess was some big deal back then. Cross your heart, pinky promise, whatever. For some reason, Abraham said, stick your hand underneath my thigh and swear to me that you're gonna do this. So he sends his servant off. And so his servant goes in search of a bride for his master's son. And so he goes, when he starts the search, he goes to the well because he knew that there'd be thirsty people at a well. And so the servant of the master is sent to the place where the thirsty people are who may want to come into a covenant marriage with his son. And so the servant goes to the well, and when he gets to the well, he prays, and it's interesting, his prayer, he says, oh God, give me success in my endeavor so that my master will know of your unfailing love. Give me success. So he asked for personal success, but the whole reason I want success is so that my master will know of your unfailing love. And so he prays, and then he's there watching, and here comes the thirsty people to the well, and God highlights Rebecca to him. And so he gives God a little test to to call us to help identify who she is. And when she passes the test, he approaches her. And when she says yes, then he again turns to God and thanks him. Lord, thank you for giving me success. And now I'll be able to go back and I'll be able to show to my master. I'll be able to show to my master that you, God, are unfailing in your love and you're faithful. And so here's my point. The servant went out not looking for a bride for himself, but a bride for the master's son. So he went out in someone else's behest. He had enjoined with the master. He had partnered with the master, not to get something for himself, but to get something for the master. And he prayed for success, but his success was not about him. His success was so that the master would know the unfailing love of Jesus. Here's the picture that I believe Jesus is pulling us into. He's saying, is there a servant out there who will go into the world, into the thirsty places, looking for people who need a covenant with God? My son needs a bride. He needs someone to love. He's after a bride. Is there a servant out there who will go into the world, go look for the thirsty people, approach them, not with building something for themselves, but approach them saying, oh, my father loves you. He would love to be in a relationship with you. Can I please introduce you to my father? When Abraham sent him out, track with me. When Abraham sent him out, he didn't send him out empty-handed. It said that Abraham loaded him down with blessings. So you have a servant who had vowed and committed to enjoin or partner with the master and go look for these people. And so Abraham loaded him down with blessings. Why did he load him down with blessings? It wasn't so he could enjoy those blessings or he could indulge in those blessings. No, those blessings were to be given to people to show the wealth and goodness and love and charity of the master. And so the wealth that they carried was all pointed back to God. And so this servant is saying, this isn't mine, it's his. But look, I get to use them and bless you and pour them out on people so that you can see the goodness of my master. He didn't own it. It was all pointing back to the master. And God is calling for his church to stand up and enjoy, walk in the blessings that God has given us, but not to enjoy them for ourselves. This is mine. Look what I have built. This is for me to enjoy. But God is looking for a people that he can heap blessings on, but that we will use those blessings to point back to the goodness of my Father and say, this is what he has for you. This is how he blesses you. This is how good my master is. So God sent this messenger out, sent this servant out in Genesis chapter 24. He brought back a bride for Rebekah. God is doing the same thing in the earth today, and he's calling to me and you, I believe, out of John 15, 14, and saying, would you please, would you partner with me? Would you enjoin with me and do everything that I have commanded you to do? I'm giving you an assignment. And can I go on further to say a shocking statement to you? Ready? Jesus is not looking for servants. He's looking for partners. Because if we keep reading in verse 16, he says this. He says, I don't call you servants. I call you friend. Because see, a servant doesn't know what is in his master's mind, but a friend does. And so I'm not just sending you out saying, go serve me. No, I'm calling you into a friendship and a partner with me where you can express to the world, to hungry people, the love that I have for them. The wealth, the blessing, the joy that I have for people. But I need a servant who will go in my stead. And I believe that's the call God is sending out to us today. Sit and be fed or go and feed. Sit and be fed or go and feed. And I have a feeling too many of us are guilty of sitting and being fed. Sitting and being fed. You know, even last week as we were talking about love and we were talking about loving each other, I was afraid that there was going to be people in the congregation who heard that word and said, that's right, Jody. That's right. It's about time these people love me. You know, you're right, Jody. They have not been loving me well. Thank you. Thank you for chastising them and getting them up and going so that they can love me well. Anybody be brave enough to raise your hand and say, that's what I heard last week? I didn't think so. But so often that's what we hear, yes? We preach on love. We ought to love one another. We ought to meet each other's needs. And yeah, that's right. I'll give you my list. List of my needs so you guys can get busy. But God is not calling us to that. He's saying we ought to love one another. So you go love someone else. And God is calling us to partner with him. And so each and every one of us, God is calling us into a partnership to show the love of the Father to a thirsty, hurting world. And he has resourced us, church. See, Abraham learned this blessing in the 12th chapter of Genesis when he said, I'm going to bless you and you're going to be a blessing to everyone around you. I'm going to bless you, but it's not for you. It's for others around you. And God is still in that business today. Now, does God want to bless us? Everybody say yes. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you financially. He wants to bless you materially. He wants to bless you spiritually and emotionally in your mind and will and emotions. He wants you full, but not so that we can sit back and enjoy it, so that we can give to someone else. So God is calling us into this partnership with him. And it also reminded me, and it's the last thing I'm going to say about this, but I think this is important. It reminded me of the book of Ruth. And I've said this to you before, but this is one of the most outstanding things I've received in the book of Ruth. If you remember that the king was looking for a new queen, right? And so, Esther, I'm sorry. So Esther, the book of Esther. So Esther was brought in with another bunch of women. They were all potential queens, right? And so the king was going to search through all these women and find the one that he wanted to be the queen. And so there was a eunuch assigned to these ladies. It would be like their makeup artist or their clothing designer, right? And so this guy, I don't know, I just got an image of what that guy would look like today in today's world. He's got spiky hair. Anyway, this eunuch, his job was to prepare all these women and to dress them, but he wasn't dressing them in the outfits that he liked, and he wasn't dressing them in the outfit that they liked. He was dressing them in the outfit that the king liked. Because he was looking for a queen, not for himself, but he was looking for a queen for the king. So he needed to know what the king's desires are. He needed to know the wishes and aspirations and that the king had. And so his job as the eunuch was to prepare the, here, put this perfume on. Well, I don't like that perfume. It really doesn't matter. The king likes that perfume. It's like worship. Remember what Brady said about worship? How'd you like the worship set today? Oh, I didn't like it. Well, that's good because it wasn't for you. I love that song. That's my favorite song. I'm glad, but it's not for you, right? And so this eunuch is putting the perfume on these women, not the perfume that he wants, but he knows the desires of the king. And not to be too graphic, but the reason I believe that this works so well was because this guy was a eunuch. Another word for that would be a gelding. We just won't go any further than that. In other words, anything in him that would have desired to take these women for himself had been cut away. And his intentions now was only for the king. So the part of him that would have taken this for himself or taken blessings for himself or gathered things around himself or built a kingdom from himself, all that had been cut away. Now his only desire was preparing something that his king found attractive and that his king found as a priority. And I believe God is looking for a church today who all that nonsense be cut out of us. We're not into building our own kingdom. We're not into living our own lives. We're not into passing adding our own lifestyles. We want the heart of our King. Lord, I'll go find you a bride. Send me out. I'll stick my hand under your thigh and swear to you a vow that I'm going to go out and I'm going to do the best to bring people in so that your son can have a bride. Your son can have a bride. But here's what's interesting. Back to the thing with Abraham is that the servant said to him, he said, listen, suppose I find a woman and she won't come with him. She won't come with me. And Abraham said this, listen, God will send his angel before you. God will send his angel before you and he'll do the prep work. But at the end of it, if she does not come, then you're released from your vow. I believe what God is saying to this, this isn't about us going and generating something for the kingdom of God. I can't change a single person's heart. I can't even change my own heart. I've been working on my wife for 25 years and I've not done that yet. I can't change any hearts. I got a 23-year-old son. I've not managed to change his heart or my 20-year-old son. You can't do it. I can't change hearts, but I don't have to. I just go out as the servant looking for the well where the thirsty people are. I'm just going to look for somebody in need, knowing that he has given me his spirit, and it's the job of the Holy Spirit to prep. I'm just a voice. I'm just obedient. I'm just doing what my master told me to do. The results are up to him, but his Holy Spirit has been given, and he's prepping it. End of the day, it's you, God. This isn't me. Again, this isn't about how good of a servant I am. This is about the goodness of my master being expressed through my ministry. So, Lord, I'll just go. And so I believe in this passage, God is calling to us to partner with him, to partner with him, to go out and be the servant looking to provide a bride for our master. You track with me on that? And so I've got more notes, but I want to stop right here. I want to stop right here and I just say this. Church, it's time for us to not just show up and receive. It's time for us not to just show up and receive. It's time for us to get active in partnership with Jesus. Because see, the invitation that Jesus was throwing out here, he knew everything about because he had partnered with his Father. And if you read the Gospels, you'll see this. Jesus again saying, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. I don't say anything unless I see my Father. So he was walking in perfect partnership with the Father. The Father had given him an objective. He was staying close to the Father. He was abiding in the love and relationship with the Father. The Father was giving him instructions and communications, and all he was doing was simply walking out a partnership with the God that changed the world. You and I sit here today because Jesus partnered with God to come save us. And now there's a world out there who needs us as the church to partner with Jesus and go out and love and give and express and bless and share the gospel and encourage one another to walk out in supernatural power, be so full of the Holy Spirit that we can have another day of Pentecost right here in 2017, or that we can go out and walk under the anointing and power of God and bring healing, bring deliverance, bring words of knowledge, bring the prophetic to the people around us. God is calling us, church, but it's going to take a partnership. It's going to take a partnership. So my challenge to you today is, will you partner with God in this? Will you say yes to this partnership? And we're going to have to learn what all it means, and that's how we continue in our discipleship process as we're being discipled. Then we learn more and more what this means. But God is calling us. My challenge to you is, will you say yes to the Lord and partner with him? Let me pray for you. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word challenges us. And I believe we've found your heart this morning. If you agree with that, church, say yes. I believe we've found your heart, Lord. And so, God, I'm asking that you give us the discernment and the grace to partner with you. And even tomorrow, Lord God, as we go about our life, we would be like Abraham's servant, with conscious eyes, with purposeful determination, looking for people to bring in as the bride of Christ, people to share your love with. Help our motivations. Help it to never be about us, but to always be about your kingdom. Help our lives to honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to go to victoryworshipcenter.com to get involved.